Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here with us tonight. I want to thank the One Institute for bringing us here each and every week to be with you so you can call in and ask questions. Speaking of calling in, I want to say the phone number is 323-203-0815. And I want to also say, Dr. Allen, you are live on the air and you already have callers stacked up and waiting to talk to you.
Great. Let's be serviceable and usable.
All right. So let's start. I'm going to tell our switchboard we are ready. And we're going to take our first call here in a second. Meantime, I was excited to hear that the monthly shows went brilliantly.
Yes, they did.
Perfect. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, yes, I do. So a man has been dating me for about 8 weeks.
Ooh, that's good.
I'm the feminine. I'm in the feminine role. But he has a son with his ex, and he's keeping me a secret from her because of fear of losing his right to see his son. He doesn't have anything legal with her. So it's been hard as kind of weeks have gone by. I've kind of really noticed how hard this is for him. And I, the other day, kind of went off about having boundaries with her, and it just wasn't good. So I just don't know really how to move forward and keep my emotions out of it.
Well, I don't approve of anybody meeting a child before you're engaged. I don't. I don't want children to lose parent after parent, even if they're step-parents. So 8 weeks is not long enough for you to qualify for the job of stepmom. So how do you feel about that?
I agree, and I don't want the role. I think it's more so that his ex is really manipulative, and I feel like he's not allowed to have another relationship, and she threatens him in weird ways about him not being able to see the son. So it's not so much about me having a relationship with the son as it is about, you know, just being in a public relationship, you know.
I understand that. Is he dating you? You said he's dating you for 8 weeks. Is he calling, asking, and taking you out? And that's what you get. That's it. You don't meet the son, and he keeps you undercover rats, and you build a relationship on friendship and work it through to something else if it's going there. But that's all you can expect right now. The first 3 months in a relationship are the perfect ones where you make an effort. The second 3 months are when exes pop up, problems show up, and you see what you do with that. The third 3 months, you're now ready to negotiate time, space, money, and play, because you're getting to the place where you can commit to the relationship. I believe we're not really ready for marriage until we've known everybody or anybody for at least a year. So at this time, let him build your friendship behind the scenes. And there is a group called Fathers United in which lawyers who are generous serve as consultants to fathers such as he is. So there is there are places to go, but you have to stay pretty much in the covers.
Okay. I wasn't expecting that, but okay.
Well, if you come out from behind the covers, she's going to attack him.
Yeah, he will.
Okay.
I just felt, I thought he was supposed to, like, stand up for me or something.
What? He can't stand up. She's got the major coin of the realm. She's got the child.
And
he would have to have legal help to get control of his rights.
Okay.
But you can stay there and build a friendship with him, leading to a romance. But you can't participate.
I mean, yeah.
Okay?
Great. Okay, thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks, caller.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Those kids, you know, they sometimes use them like a fulcrum in a relationship, and it really causes problems with future relationships.
That's right.
Right, we have another call coming in. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. So, Dr. Allen, I want to find out about how can I be proud of my accomplishments without being masculine? I'm a marathon runner, and I find that in dating, men kind of try to compete with me, and I don't want them to compete with me, and I want to be proud of my accomplishments, but it feels masculine. That makes sense.
Are you a career woman or a woman with a career?
A woman with a career.
Then why would you have to brag about your business associations?
I'm not necessarily bragging about my business associations. It's when I'm in the dating process and men are asking me what my hobbies are and what I like to do to stay active, and that's when I'm a runner.
I want you answer it honestly, and if they are intimidated by you, they are not manly enough for you.
Okay.
Good riddance.
Okay. That makes me feel better, because I don't boast about it, and I'm not bragging about it. I'm proud, and if they're asking me, I want to share, but I don't want them to feel like they have to compete with me.
You can't change anybody's feelings. They have to do it themselves. So when you answer in a straightforward manner. Don't teach, preach, bitch, moan your accomplishments. Just answer the question. I had a brain surgeon, darling little woman, who called herself. They said, "What do you do?" "I work in a doctor's office." She happens to be the doctor, but that's the answer she gave.
Okay. And I'd heard you mention in the past to where that you want the man to kind of dig it out of you, right?
I don't want women to interview men for the job of boyfriend or husband. I want men to ask women to interview women, men.
Okay. All right.
So answer simply, tell the truth.
Okay.
But don't brag.
Okay. All right. Very good. That's all I needed. Thank you, doctor.
Woman. If you're a career woman, you're looking for a man who wants to be with a career woman. He wants to help you.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks,
welcome.
Howard.
Okay.
All right. Let me see what our switchboard is telling me. Okay. So, we have a couple of Facebook questions, Dr. Allen, and here's one now. I have been in a relationship with a woman for 22 months. I've asked her to marry me, and I kind of get the feeling like she's waiting for something better to come along. She keeps telling me, we need more time, we need more time. But I've looked at your books, and I've listened to your show enough to know that after a certain point in time, I'm wasting time? Dr. Allen, what is your advice on this? And why doesn't she want to marry me?
Well, it's okay you're asking for that, but have you built, if he's built a relationship with her and it's a year, what I've experienced with people is that around 6 months into the relationship, they've got to decide where it's going. You know, monogamy,
yeah, I would agree
continuity,
with that.
And long-term goals. So if she is not willing to talk about futures by 6 months, you may not be qualified to apply for the job of respected husband.
Right. Right. You've mentioned that before, definitely, Dr. Allen. And okay, he's sending another message, and he says, when is it that I can really be rest assured that I'm wasting time? I want to be married. I want to have a family. I don't want to be an old man with children. I want to be a young man that can play with my children and have a relationship with them. Okay, so this man's married.
If you're not engaged at 6 months, you've got a problem.
Okay, so he says, okay, Dr. Allen, I had a feeling you were going to say that. It looks like it's time for me to move on.
Okay.
And he's saying, how do I communicate it with the tools to explain to her without being cruel that I need this. Can you tell me how?
I'm gonna do it for him. Honey, you have every right to want a better deal than I am. But I'm the best I have. And since you're not willing to get engaged and married within 6 months to a year, I'm going to move on. I don't want to waste my life. So enjoy your shopping. And buy the best and have a good life. Now, when you do that, she's going to think a couple of times before she lets you go, because that's very self-loving and very, very masculine to take care of yourself in spite of rejection.
Right.
And yet not criticize her. So be a gentleman when you free her, because she wants to shop some more for a better deal. If you're not 51% valuable to her, she's not going to be a good wife.
All right. His response is, thank you, Dr. Allen. Okay, and we have another one. She wants to live in the city. I want to live in the country, but I have asked her if we could compromise by having a place in the city and a place in the country. I have enough money. I'm quite comfortable. I could do this, but I feel like the city life is crushing me, and I need that time in the woods or the country so I can become calm and be able to continue to succeed when I'm in the city. She's not into compromising, and I'm confused. Okay.
Well, there's nothing confusing about strident, straightforward behavior. She wants what she wants, and your value to her is not high enough for her to acquiesce and to compromise. So she's already showing you the fact that she's not going to make a good wife.
Apparently, they've been married for some time. They've been married for 7 years.
He's next. Married?
Yeah, his next question is this a 7-year itch? She just, okay, when we're in the city, she responds beautifully. But as soon as I say, can we go on a little trip? Can we go to the woods? Can we get away from the city? She's very reluctant and reticent to the point of picking fights.
I know, she won't compromise. See, there's three ways to communicate. Intimidate with fear. I'm going to beat you up or divorce you if you don't do it my way. Seduce. How could you do this to me? I don't even take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
Or negotiate. Look, how about we do this? We have separate vacations. You go to your country, whatever you want, and I'll go to the city, and we'll do it maybe 2 weeks out of every 2 months. Some kind of offer of compromise so that everybody gets some of what they want, but not all of it.
Hmm. Well, it seems to me some people just aren't able to compromise, and that's not very good for relationships.
It's amazing. Those people, when they get old, are more than willing to compromise because now their value diminishes, and they often end up with less than they would if they had stayed with the first person and acquiesced or negotiated a deal that benefited both of them.
Mm. I see. Okay.
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is your willingness to make a contract and keep it. When people don't and aren't willing to make agreements, you can't be with them unless you're a codependent zero.
Right. Exactly. Okay. This woman says, I'm 39 years old. I am the mother of a 14-year-old son. And his father recently had an affair and left the family. My son seems to be striking out. And for some reason, blaming me because of his father's affair. I want to talk with my son, but I don't want to be what you say, mothering him past the right time. But he seems to be in pain, and his rebellion against me is putting a big strain. How do I talk to him, Dr. Allen?
Well, first of all, how old did she say he was?
She says he's 14 years old, and apparently around 6 months ago, the father...
Yeah, I know. She goes out and buys the book Brainstorms by Dan Siegel, S-I-E-G-E-L. It's a book about the phenomenon of adolescence. Nature deprives them of some of their dopamine upper, and they have to get out of the house to go get excitement, motorcycles, rave parties, drugs, whatever. The secret is that it is a phenomenon that kids always abuse the innocent parent in a divorce. They hold the innocent parent accountable for the behavior of the other parent. You could have kept him. Why didn't you do whatever? Do you see?
Right.
And what she says to the boy is, you have every right to be upset that the family is coming apart, but I'm not responsible for your father's mistakes. He has the right to have our family split up. And you have the right to tell him how you feel about it. But when you blame me for his behavior, that hurts my feelings and turns me off as a mother who wants to be a loving parent in your life. So my recommendation to you, son, is go tell your father what you think about his behavior, and please allow me the pleasure of being innocent of what he's doing.
I think that's
a woman's got to start with her son in the business of, you're causing me pain and I don't like it. And the price for doing it is my shutting down.
Right. Right. Disengaging, essentially. Well, I think that's brilliant advice, Dr. Allen. And it is tough whenever families break up, and it's probably toughest on the children. But yeah, to be able to communicate that and to have the child strike, you know, well, not strike out, but to you know, clear those feelings with the parent that's perhaps at fault seems,
you know,
really
kids,
like a...
Kids are afraid to punish the guilty parent because they already know they've got a screw loose. But
right.
But the person, especially, you know, for a son, how his mother handles it is extremely important. But she's got to cherish herself and respect her son enough to tell him the price for being rude or abusive on her father, on his father's behalf. And for a daughter, it's the father. This is Freud's work.
Right.
So what father
Electra
do,
and
if you're gonna,
Oedipus.
If you're going to have a disabled parent, it's better to have the same sex one. The opposite sex parent, according to Freud anyway, is significantly important in the development of a good girl or a good boy. So this mother needs to protect herself but respect her son for being in pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
So, Dr. Allen, what classes do you have coming up on Saturday? I heard you have a class
on
Saturday. Well,
this Saturday, we're doing scripting. You know what's interesting is that within 10 months after birth, a baby has to hear the dialect of whoever's going to teach him or her language. Because if they don't hear the dialect, they can't replace it. They can't repeat it, like Chinese, L and M. You've got to hear the dialect you're going to be taught by 10 months. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Yes, it is. But it's the way the Broca, which is the area of language in the left hemisphere of the brain, it's the way the Broca is geared up to speak. I'm a transactional analyst. All I do all day is help people understand how to negotiate with respect and cherishing, and not to intimidate with fear or seduce with guilt and shame. Those are major scripting messages. When you're scripted to be a bully or a seducing victim, that especially by the age of 3, can you believe that by 3 years old, if you go to a preschool, you'll see the bullies in action, you'll see the whiners, and you'll see the little negotiators trading toys and bicycles and whatever.
Twinkies, right?
So
exactly.
So much is important in how you're taught by the people that love you. Do you know that we have cells in our brain called mirror neurons that have to be stimulated by hopefully a loving parent or a loving babysitter or somebody loving, so that the baby can imitate that person. If that isn't filled up with loving, you know, if you've ever owned a feral cat, you can feed them, but you can't pet them, because right. their brain is not manipulatable. It's so right. interesting. Norman Doidge has a book, The Brain That Changes Itself, and it's all about that you manipulate your brain neurobiologically so that you can communicate and negotiate with love. And if you aren't scripted correctly, you're going to be an adaptive, submissive doormat or a yeah. constant rebel, or worse than that, a demon child. Now, what's a demon child? A demon child is, first of all, a loner. If you read any of the stories about our sad, but very sick people that kill people, mm-hmm. in schools particularly, you'll see one word common. He or she was a loner.
Mm-hmm.
It is so important that parents know how to help the baby become a talking three-year-old who basically can empathize and negotiate in order to feel safe on this planet. We are having a big problem in treating our children like precious human beings that have to be cultivated just like a flower into a loving person. So this Saturday, I'm going to be doing script analysis to see if the six people I work with recognize some miseducation and learn a little bit more about how to negotiate, not intimidate or seduce.
Now, Dr. Allen, I know this is a very intimate class, a very small number of people, and I know that you do the scripts with private appointments for those who can't attend the very small class here in Orange County.
They take about an hour.
Mm-hmm. So how does that work? Did they fill out paperwork? Is that correct? The script papers?
I'm a transactional analyst.
Mm-hmm.
That's Eric Byrne simplified Carl Jung, Sigmund Freud, into a more understandable language system. And I've mm-hmm. extrapolated that with my doctoral work, which is androgynous semantic realignment. It's like getting your tires changed. Picture not getting your tires changed. How yeah. long is that car going to drive? Well, what I do is I manipulate the broca in the brain, which is
Hello?
Area of language. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody on the phone?
Yeah, it looks like we have a yeah. call that came in. Caller, you're on the phone with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what is it?
So I recently met a guy online. We share a lot in common. We went on our first
date. You met the guy?
He met me online.
All right, so you're the girl?
Correct.
I don't mind if you're the guy. Guys have a right to be a girl.
No, I'm the feminine energy.
Okay. All right, so you're the girl, and he met
yeah.
you.
Correct.
So?
So we went on our first date. We have a lot of values, the same goals. But after that, I feel like I've said, like, reading in between the lines and maybe allowing my past to come and start making false judgments on someone I've not gotten to know. And
you made the judgment or he did? Wait a minute. Who made the rash judgment?
So I did. The date went really well. Then the next day I woke up and I started overreading everything he was telling me. And So I'm beginning to realize maybe I'm bringing in my past hurts to someone who is a clean slate right now, who I'm barely getting to know.
Okay. So are you scripted to be negative?
I'm beginning to see, I am positive when it comes to business and health, but I think with relationships, that's been a very sour spot for me, and I'm beginning to see that now more.
Okay. Was your mother a man? Who ran the house when you were a kid?
My mom.
Where was your dad? Where was your dad?
He was a businessman, so he worked a lot.
So what you're saying is your father made money and your mother ran the show. Who's the important parent for you?
My dad.
Your mother is a role model, and what she's role modeling, she's a married woman. Uh-huh. Are they married? Are they still together?
Yes, they are.
Okay. So they're demonstrating how to be a married couple. And what I'm hearing is he's gone and she's running the show. So that must be what you're scripted to do, is it?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes, I didn't realize it.
I know it, that's why I said it. Now there's a book by Claude Steiner, Scripts People Live. Scripts People Live by Claude Steiner. He was a protege of Eric Byrne, who was the first transactional analyst. And you will see that just as you were surprised by a human being within 5 minutes of talking to you, of finding out that you're programmed to be a man at home and have the man out there making money and paying for it, but God, don't be in an intimate, loving relationship.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Have you read my book, Getting to I Do?
Over 10 times, and I've come to your one of your the I Want seminar that you have, the one-day one. I've come to that.
Okay. So I think you're not quite on the course that I teach. You sound like a nice man, and there are lots of feminine men out there that would love to be with a man like you. So do you want that?
No, I want to be the feminine.
All right. Then you've got to learn how to speak like a feminine woman. Which is respectful.
Yes.
The more you respect a man, the more he feels cherished, and it spills over on you. And the more a man cherishes his women, the more they will feel respected. It's very interesting, but that's the way life is. So you might want to reread the book with the idea of you're the man and you don't want to be the man anymore.
Yeah.
So you're not going to tally up a man's negative points. You're going to tally up his valuable ones.
Okay.
Will you do that?
Yes, I will.
All right. Call back and let us know if you found a man who wants to be respected and is willing to cherish you if you do it.
Okay, I will.
Good girl.
Goodbye, caller.
Bye.
Bye.
That's so interesting, Dr. Allen, because we were just talking about the class. We were just talking about the script class, and you were just talking about the script, and I find it so fascinating.
But I want you to see she heard something, that indicates she's been negatively scripted, and that's the reason she can't be a girl.
Right, right. So amazing. So we have another message, Dr. Allen, and this gal says, Dr. Allen, I've heard you talk about over-adrenalized females. I was molested at 14 years old. It was not before my first menstrual cycle, which I've heard you discuss, but I always feel that sex is the answer. I have a lot of sex, and I'm afraid that I am a sexual addict. How do you deal with this? Well, you're an expert, aren't you, Dr. Allen?
First of all, being molested, sex produces dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
The younger you are as a woman, the more you produce dopamine receptors if you're stimulated sexually. And stimulated could be somebody flirting with you, somebody touching you. Do you know, the women that are listening out there, if they're in a room with a man that lusts them, gets their skin to crawl, that is a neurobiological reaction to being sexually stimulated.
Mm.
And the younger you're molested, the more impact it has on your brain. So that you become a dopamine addict, which is produced by sex. And what you do is, whenever you're down, some people eat, some people drink, some people have sex based on the stimulation around them that they want to feel better about.
Mm-hmm.
So she sounds like she may have been raped at whatever age she was raped, but she may already have been sexually stimulated, and men can pick it up. It's amazing how a woman who's been raped gets raped again. How did that happen?
I've seen those statistics. And why is that, Dr. Allen?
What it is, okay, I'm going to put it in another world. If you want to neuter your dog, do it before they've had sex with another dog.
Mm-hmm.
Because once that dog has had sex, it's going to want it again. And if you neuter it, it's a frustrating experience.
Oh, yes, so I imagine.
If a little girl has a brother or a dad or a grandpa or a neighbor or somebody that lusts her, he can stimulate her nervous system to the point where she is too anxious to be in a dopamine-producing situation. And sex is a big, big dopamine production center.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, I tell these girls, ladies, women, you can't have casual sex because you're sexually more aggressive than a normal woman.
Mm-hmm.
And you will aggressively get yourself in bad situations and can end up murdered on the freeway.
Hello?
Okay. Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
I do.
Arthur Genoff wrote a book, and it's called The Biology of Love, about bad sexuality.
Awesome. Looks like we have another call. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, Dr. Allen, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I love listening to all your wisdom.
And I haven't read your books yet. I've been listening to you, and I notice I have this problem where I start to push men away when they get, it's really hard for me to be vulnerable. And when I get vulnerable and
I know that, sir. If your dad walked in your room, would he ask you how you did today or how you felt about what you did?
He probably wouldn't come in my room at all and talk to me. He was more...
Okay, that's worse. If he met you at the dining room table, would he ask you how you felt or how you did today?
How I did.
And you know what that is. That's you being a boy. Boys do good to feel good. Girls feel good to do good, unless they're chemically or scripted to the contrary. We're all both. Men have yang male bodies, but they have yin souls, the anima. Women have yin bodies, but yang souls, the animas. There's a great book, and it's by Dr. Hill and Dr. Lee, and it's called The Yin and Yang Way of Life, which is based on the I Ching Chinese quantum physics. So with that in mind, you've been raised to be your own father.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, and he's a good guy. I feel so bad the next day after I tell him, don't come home, and I'm so mad at you, and why do you do this, and blah, blah, blah. I feel awful the next day, like today.
I understand
when we get
that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, have you studied my work? Have you studied my stuff? Have you listened? There's a CD set called One Trading for Effective Living. It's my language work. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank, making money. The doctor's office, being healthy. And in every single relationship, especially the loving sexual ones.
Okay, it's a CD set.
How about you learn my stuff and talk it?
Okay. The CD set is called again, just so I can remember it. I appreciate it.
It's what?
She needs a name, a title.
One more time.
Wait, it's One Training for Effective Living.
Yes, and you can find that. Yeah, you can find that at www.wantistore.com.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Oh, and there's a lot of other things there, too, you might want to take a look at. Like Dr. Allen has her wonderful book, Getting to I Do There, Conversational Rape, and a lot of other CDs and DVD sets that are pretty stunning.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
And the newest one is It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe. They're in charge of junk and objects, and we're in charge of oxygen. And that book has the tools in it. It even has my opinion of the melding of love between the East and the West.
Okay. It's a man's universe, but women are oxygen.
No, it's a man's world and a woman's universe.
And a woman's universe. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I'll order those. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling.
Good luck.
Okay, appreciate it.
Those want tools are so valuable.
I know that.
I recommend, all my girlfriends are like, oh, what do I do? And I'm like, just get these tools and live these tools, work these tools, and your life is going to be better for it.
It teaches you how to negotiate when you're angry and upset.
I love that. And you know, also what I love is that you're doing the self-esteem class, which I think is so important. And I think it works so well with the tools and with the life script. Now you're doing those classes, but you're also doing private appointments, telephone appointments for the self-esteem, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Absolutely. And we do the Myers-Briggs test.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, who were you created to be? Doctor, are you, what temperament do you have?
Mm-hmm.
This test, the Myers-Briggs test, is used by big companies to help set up
Are you there, Dr. Allen? Dr. Allen? Okay. I think that we've lost Dr. Allen on the call, but it does use the Myers-Briggs test. And it's pretty amazing. You can sign up for that class in person if you're in the Los Angeles.
Call,
there you are. There you are.
There I am.
Okay, so you're saying Myers-Briggs.
The Myers-Briggs test is a very, very well-respected test for temperaments. And I use it as the foundation for self-esteem help for people. And if you go to my website, you'll see that that's there.
Oh, yes.
So
somebody's interested in talking to you on the phone for a phone appointment because they can't make it into the Orange County area, they can go to the website or they can send an email to info@drpatallen.com or they can call the office. All the numbers are on the website, www.drpatallen.com.
Right.
And so you have the script class coming up this weekend. We've done our monthly show for the month of November or March. And then, you know, I was curious about the date for our next month's show, just thinking out loud, because I know Easter is coming up in the month of April. And I'm not sure what the date is on that. Let me take a look really quick. Okay, April 1st is a Sunday, so we don't have to worry about that. And I'll confirm with Sue that we're going to have the Monday following the 1st, which is interesting, April Fools and Easter on the same day.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll see what kind of tricks the Easter Bunny brings us that day, eh?
Right.
So, we're really excited about the classes, and we're really excited that Dr. Allen has decided to take on in her practice doing those phone appointments for self-esteem,
yes,
for life script, and of course for anything you need to talk to Dr. Allen about, you can contact
dream
us.
Dream analysis.
Oh gosh, yeah, and that is just, we can't do the dream analysis on the radio, but you do it in person
it
or on the phone. It's just amazing. It's so amazing to be able to share the dream with you and then get that response, because sometimes,
yes,
even though you say there's no such thing as a nightmare, we have a dream that I would call haunting. So a dream that kind of haunts us because, you know, we can't figure it out and we know it's our subconscious mind is telling us something. So
right.
I loved doing my dream with you. It was one of the highlights and was so revealing, so very revealing.
Right.
Dr. Allen, we're almost out of time. What do you have to say before we go?
The only way out of a negative feeling is to know what you want and to know what you don't want and to be able to negotiate.
I love that. I love that, Dr. Allen. And, you know, it's so important to know what you want and to know what you don't want. Everybody,
that's right.
We're so glad we were so glad to be with you tonight. We're going to be back next week. We look forward to being with you and hearing from you. See you then. Bye-bye.
Good.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.